Right now, we're looking at the presidential election results from South Korea, which were just released today. Moon Jae-in was the candidate of the Liberal Democratic Party in South Korea. He's the nation's new president. Experts say Moon's victory will likely mean an overhaul in that nation's policy on North Korea. This comes as the Trump administration has been focusing on the region in recent weeks.
Scott Snyder joins us now. He's a senior fellow for Korea Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and author of South Korea at the Crossroads, Autonomy and Alliance in an Era of Rival Powers. Scott, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica.
Well, was it a surprise to hear that Moon Jae-in won South Korea's presidential election?
It was not really a surprise. He had been the front runner throughout the election period, and in a way, he was the best positioned from the very beginning to benefit from the extended period of political vacuum that had occurred as a result of the impeachment of the previous president and really the loss of any sense of legitimacy from the conservative side of the political spectrum as a result of that scandal.
And how did Moon campaign? What did he campaign on leading up to this election?
Well, he really campaigned in many respects as the inheritor of the mantle of the progressive or liberal forces in South Korea. He wants to expand public sector jobs for South Koreans in order to meet especially a youth employment crisis. He has a more moderate policy toward North Korea. And he actually has taken a position of wanting to have a little bit more autonomy within the context of the alliance with the United States. Responsibility, I think, is the way he describes it.
Use the word moderation, a more moderate attitude toward North Korea. What does that mean?
Well, it really means that for the progressive side in South Korea, they feel that the missing ingredient in dealing with North Korea in the last 7 or 8 years of conservative rule has been the absence of serious and sincere attempts to engage North Korea through dialogue. They are very concerned about the idea that the inter-Korean relationship and U.S.-North Korea relations are too militarized. And so they want to restore some kind of mechanism for achieving diplomatic balance or at least engagement with North Korea. The big question is whether North Korea really wants to be engaged in that way.
And we know that Moon has been interested in opening economic exchanges between the two countries. Do we know what that might look like?
Well, there is a project that was shut down last year involving basically a special economic zone where South Korean factories were operating in North Korea with North Korean labor. He has pledged to reopen that, but I think that it will be difficult to move forward on that because of UN Security Council resolutions that have been passed sanctioning North Korea for nuclear tests that occurred last year. So we'll have to see. I think that may end up being more of a longer-term aspiration than a near-term reality.
You mentioned just a bit ago that a lingering question is whether North Korea wants to be engaged in any kind of renewed dialogue. Has North Korea responded?
So far, we really haven't heard too much from North Korea other than an expression of distaste for conservatives generally in South Korea, but there has not been a direct response yet to the Moon election that I've seen.
Now, South Korea's former president was impeached under accusations of bribery and corruption. So could you tell us a bit about what kind of political atmosphere that Moon is inheriting in South Korea?
Well, I think the main expectation clearly is that South Korean people want clean politics. They want an environment that provides a level playing field and a sense that decisions are based on merit rather than some kind of fix or interpersonal relationships as a way of gaining some kind of advantage. You know, this kind of issue permeates South Korean society in one way or another because it's a very relationship-centered culture, but increasingly it appears that if you have privilege, privilege begets privilege is the perception that exists. And so I think that the people who voted for Moon would like to see other opportunities opened up for advancement across a wider segment of South Korean society.
We're talking right now with Scott Snyder, Senior Fellow for Korea Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of the book South Korea at the Crossroads. And Scott, you said that Moon is interested in pursuing more moderate relations with North Korea. And at the same time, we have President Trump and his administration taking a hardline approach to North Korea. So how do you see this election changing relationships between the United States and South Korea?
Well, I think that there may be more tensions in the relationship that could arise in the context of a policy by a South Korean leader that really wants to focus on peaceful solutions to the Korean problem. Basically, the main issues of contention revolve around whether or not to put security instruments first as a way of problem solving. And that also spills over to the president's attitudes toward a missile defense system that has been put in place in South Korea by the United States that is still politically contested within South Korea, although it does enjoy support from a majority of the broader public.
We have a little bit of President Trump on North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un. This is a clip from CBS News.
People are saying, is he sane? I have no idea. I can tell you this, and a lot of people don't like when I say it, but he was a young man of 26 or 27 when he took over from his father, when his father died. He's dealing with obviously very tough people, in particular the generals and others. And at a very young age, he was able to assume power. A lot of people, I'm sure, tried to take that power away, whether it was his uncle or anybody else. And he was able to do it. So obviously, he's a pretty smart cookie.
Some respectful words there from President Trump about North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un. Do we know whether those words are representative of U.S. policy at this point or whether there looks to be a point of escalation going forward?
Well, we've seen signals like the one that you just played from President Trump, and we've also seen military posturing in the region in recent weeks. And so I think that if it's hard for Americans to figure out which one is in the lead and what the emphasis of the Trump administration is, you can imagine how difficult it is to sort out those signals if you're sitting in Seoul or maybe even more importantly in Pyongyang.
Now, Moon, the new president of South Korea, has been less, I guess, aligned in what he's said so far with U.S. policy toward North Korea. The previous administration, the previous president of South Korea, had been more in lockstep with the vision the United States had. Have we seen any sort of conflict between, at least in words and things the presidents have said so far, Moon and Trump, or are we seeing that we're approaching this new change with caution and maybe optimistic caution, I guess?
Well, I think that in South Korea, from the new president, we have heard the words that Americans would want to hear, an emphasis on denuclearization, expressions of the importance of the alliance. But the methods that the new president wants to pursue are, I guess the way to describe it is that he really wants to make sure that he exhausts all peaceful means. And even then, I'm not sure that the new South Korean leader really wants to see conflict at all, especially conflict driven by the U.S. And so, that's really, I think, both the area of potential convergence in terms of an approach between the U.S. and South Korea. Nobody wants to see a conflict. But it's also a potential divergence. For instance, in the event that the North Koreans can strike the United States directly with a nuclear-capable device, that is going to generate greater calls for finding military solutions if nothing else works.
How central is South Korea to the success of United States policy toward North Korea? If South Korea, with Moon in charge, decides to take a left turn, is that a big hit to U.S. policy?
Well, the alliance has been the structure that has enabled both countries to manage political shifts from left to right, or right to left over time. It has endured, and I think that the reason is that it embodies a deep strategic logic that the U.S. and South Korea have a shared interest in the preservation of peace and security in the region. The dangers come really with the possibility that unilateral actions might actually endanger peace and security, either from an aggressive South Korea under conservative rule, or potentially, as has existed in recent years, or from precipitous actions unilaterally taken by a U.S. president that would come at very high cost to life and limb in the region, and I would argue to U.S. long-term interests in the region.
Scott, thanks a lot for talking today.
Sure, thank you.
That was Scott Snyder, Senior Fellow for Korea Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of South Korea at the Crossroads. He joined us to talk about the presidential election results in South Korea and what they could mean for the relationship with the U.S. going forward.